You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Just a quick note here. We are in our spring member drive. WPR makes a difference in your day. It keeps you connected with news and culture from here in Wisconsin and points all over the world. And it's our members who make up the biggest share of WPR's funding. Make a gift today for the programs you count on for yourself and for the entire community. Here is the number to give now. It's 888 202-2552 or at WPR.org. And thank you so much for your support. Right now, we're looking at employment law and COVID-19. Federal and state law requires employers to provide a safe workplace. And since the outbreak, new policies have arrived almost weekly. And meanwhile, the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, it's been updating its guidance for employers on the disease and how to properly disinfect potentially contaminated workplaces. So do you have questions about employee rights and workplace protections? Has your job changed because of the pandemic? Do you think new demands made on you are unfair? Join in with your employment questions at this number today. It's 800-228-5615. Again, that number, 800-228-5615 to join the conversation. Barbara Zach Quindell is a Milwaukee attorney with more than 35 years of experience in the area of employment and labor law. She's partner at Hawks Quindell. Barbara, welcome to the Ideas Network. Hi, Barbara.
Thanks.
Hi. Are you there?
Hi.
Barbara,
I am.
You have been an employment attorney for many decades now, but we're in a very difficult and very different situation, as you have probably seen in your years of practice. How have you adjusted your work process these days?
Well, I'm working from home, and, you know, I'm consulting with employees over the phone rather than in person, So that's the main difference.
Doing everything from home. And you run, you know, a large law firm, multiple offices, many employees. What steps have you taken to ensure that everyone is safe at your firm?
Well, we're certainly not having them, you know, if they feel any symptoms or anything, we're not having them come to work. We have good sick leave policies, so, you know, they can take advantage of those. That's basically it.
Court hearings. How are you and your colleagues holding hearings, working through the court process and other formal procedures that are normally held in courtrooms?
Yeah, I don't do too much in-court work, but I'm a labor lawyer, so I do have mediations and arbitrations, and we're arranging all of those virtually.
How is that going?
Different. It's safer, so we're going to continue to do it that way.
I would imagine that the process is also a little bit slower than normal. What is the speed like?
What do you mean the speed?
In able to do the back and forth, the arbitration, and logistically speaking, not being able to meet with your clients face-to-face and maybe having to rely on other technologies.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's slower in the sense you have to make sure you learn the technology and, you know, I think not all of my clients are that adept at some of the platforms. But so far, we're making it work.
We're talking with Milwaukee attorney Barbara Zach Quindell about employment and labor law issues. What questions do you have about employee rights during the coronavirus pandemic? Do you have questions about employee or workplace protections? Has your job changed? Do you think the demands on you are fair? Join in at this number, 800-228-5615. Again, that's 800-228-5615 to join the conversation. Barbara, I would imagine that as people reach out to you with their, you know, personal situations, I'm wondering if the types of workplace conflict have changed at all during the pandemic. Is this a new era?
Well, I think it is a new era. I don't know that the conflicts have changed. You know, people have a lot of questions, and I think you're going to go through some of those questions with me. And so I'd be happy to respond to those.
Well, let's start then and dig in here. Safety expectations. Legally speaking, what should employees expect from their employers to keep them safe, to keep a safe and healthy workplace during this pandemic?
Well, I think that they should expect that if the employer is aware of other employees with COVID, that those employees are not coming to work. And that they should allow employees to work from home as much as possible. If your job is not one that can be done from off-site, though the employer is not required to offer telework.
The employer is not required to offer telework. So if it is a job that you can't do from home, what happens?
If you're healthy, you've got a report. If the job is an essential one, if the employer disputes that, if the employer says the employee is essential and the employee disagrees, the employee should write up the reason why she does not believe it's essential and give that to the employer. However, if the employer still insists that the employee's job is essential, the employee has to comply unless she has a reasonable fear of imminent threat to her health or safety.
What about the use of personal protection equipment and the availability of masks and gloves and other equipment? What are the, employees' rights there?
Well, the employer should certainly be providing that. There's a requirement to provide a safe workplace. And so grocery stores, you know, any place where you're going to have contact with the public, the employer should be providing it.
Let's look at a specific situation here. You recently worked with bus drivers to develop safe social distancing parameters for them while they're on the bus and working. What did that situation and that resolution look like?
There was concern because, you know, people can be fairly close to the driver. So two things happened. One was that the bus company closed off the first six rows behind the bus driver. And then there was a point, I don't know if it's, they stopped collecting fares because obviously that would bring the driver.
Point of contact. We're talking about employee rights and labor relations amid the pandemic. We have Milwaukee attorney Barbara Zach Quindell for the hour taking your questions. Does your supervisor say you can't work from home, but you disagree? Do you wonder what can be done if you suspect your coworker is sick with the coronavirus? Join in at this number, 800-228-5615. Again, that's 800-228-5615. We'll be back in a moment with Barbara Zach Quindell here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about how the coronavirus creates new tensions between employers and workers. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. We're working through some of the more common labor issues right now as the number of positive cases of COVID-19 in Wisconsin continues to grow. Is your job staying open and claiming to be essential, but you may disagree? Do you have questions about the new coronavirus sick leave plan that was passed by Congress? Are you wondering if you qualify for unemployment benefits? Join in on workplace issues at this number, 800-228-5615. Again, that's 800-228-5615. We have Barbara Zach Quindell, longtime attorney in Milwaukee who works on employment and labor law issues. She stays with us. Barbara, we heard from Jeremy in Racine who has a question, and Jeremy is looking to take on a second part-time job in addition to Jeremy's full-time job. And the full-time job employer said, that Jeremy would be no longer able to work at the full-time job. And Jeremy wonders, is that legal?
Well, I think I don't see a basis for the employer restricting him unless there's a concern that he is in the part-time job, he is more susceptible to contracting the virus, in which case I think there would be a reasonable basis. But
could there be a competition clause or something like that? If it's a job similar to the job he's doing right now?
Yeah, I mean, if he's subject to a non-compete clause, then that's a problem for him. But I don't know if that's the reason that the employer is, taking that position.
But if it would be like a part-time job that is completely not related to the full-time job in any way, that the employer may not have grounds to put the full-time job at risk.
Right, right. I mean, generally in a non-compete situation, it's what it says. I mean, it has to be a job that is, an employer who is in competition with the current employer.
What if an employer starts requiring the employees to do things that they weren't hired for in their current job description, such as home delivery of products? What rights does the employee have to refuse to do those new tasks?
Well, unless those tasks are jeopardizing the health or safety of the employee has to go ahead and do that.
And legally, the employer can amend a job description at any time?
Yes.
If the employee is willing to do the new work, should they be looking for any type of contract renegotiations, perhaps a pay raise?
Well, most employees don't have that kind of bargaining power. That's why being in a union is so important. They can try, but they ultimately don't have leverage to enforce any kind of pay raise.
We're talking right now with Barbara Zach Quindell, who's worked in the area of employment and labor law for decades. She's fielding your questions through the hour. Have you had to take time off to care for a loved one who's sick with the coronavirus? How did your job respond? How is your job working to protect you from customers who might be sick? Is it enough? Or do you feel you have the protections in place? Join in with your situation. Here's the number, 800-228-5615. Again, that's 800-228-5615. Barbara, let's look at unions right now. What are unions doing during this pandemic to help keep their people safe who are part of the union?
Well, I used the example of bus drivers. They're certainly trying to they fought for the kind of changes in the environment. And I think that for other employees they too are looking at health and safety, ensuring that, you know, it's safe to come to work, and if not, trying to work out telework options. You've got teachers who are, you know, since the schools are closed, you know, they don't really have the option of working. So, you know, we're working to make sure that they continue to get paid.
Will we see any types of unions having their people walk off and do pickets at all, or any type of strikes?
We may, but that so far we haven't seen it here. I mean, I think I've read about gig workers, delivery workers, having walkouts in other cities.
Yeah, so far you're not seeing it, though, in the local area. Let's take a call now. Joe is joining us from Baraboo this morning. Hi, Joe.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My question is this. I'm a truck driver. I deliver regionally. Everywhere I go, they won't even come within 50 feet of you. This home and place, my question is, if I feel like I'm in danger, I feel like every place I go to, I feel like I'm in danger. Can I just tell my employer, I don't want to drive, I want to stay home, and I'm going to file for unemployment? Is that even possible, or do you have to wait till the employer, which I highly doubt if trucking employers are going to do this, but, oh, yes, Joe, we realize you may be in danger. We're going to go ahead and honor the unemployment claim. How does that work?
Barbara, Joe, thank you so much. Barbara, what would you say there?
I would say, you know, first you're going to try to reason with your employer. But if that doesn't work, and you feel you're in danger, you can, you know, tell your employer, I just don't feel it's safe. And I'm going to file. I'm going to not come in and file for unemployment, and let the unemployment authorities, you know, determine if you have a viable claim.
But that is also a risk there, because if Workforce Development sees that Joe has a job that was not, cut off from him, he was not fired in any way, would that claim go through?
It might not. It might not.
More than 300,000 Wisconsin residents filed for unemployment benefits in the last month. Barbara, what types of questions? Are you hearing more Joes out there? What types of questions are you getting?
Well, I think there was a big question about the waiting period, and that has been suspended now. So there had been a one-week waiting period for unemployment claims. The other question, we had a situation where the employer was laying off people in intermittently. There was a question of whether, so they would be on 2 weeks and then laid off, and then on another 2 weeks and then laid off. And so there was a question about whether those people would be eligible for unemployment, and they are, and they don't need to go through a new waiting period.
So it's almost like intermittent furloughing in a way.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, help us understand the rules around furloughs. What are they, and what happens?
Well, as I said, I mean, that's up to the employer. The employer can furlough you. And and you can qualify for unemployment. So there's no restrictions on furloughing, and it's one of the ways in which employers are coping because they may not be able to, they may not have the work for the full workforce, but they don't want to single out people. They want to try to have the workforce share the burden.
We're looking at laws governing the workplace in this changing environment. We have Milwaukee attorney Barbara Zach Quindel. Your workplace legal questions, they're front and center through the hour. What situation have you encountered at work during the pandemic? How did your company respond to your concerns about carrying out your work duties safely? Do you think you should be getting hazard pay? Have you broached that question? Here's the number, 800-228-5615. Again, 800-228-5615. Back after this news update on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You tune in to WPR every day knowing you can find connection, information, companionship when you need it. And the programs you count on are powered by listeners just like you. So we are in our spring member drive. It's listener support that is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. Give at 888-202-2552 or WPR.org. And thank you for your support. Right now, we're looking at employee rights, at laws governing the workplace, and this really fluid time when we're seeing new federal laws being pushed through to quickly respond to the pandemic. What questions do you have about employee rights during this time? Do you have questions about workplace protections? What has changed about your job during the pandemic? We're here for you. The conversation is at 800-228-5615. Again, that's 800-228-5615. We have attorney Barbara Zach Quindel, who works on employment and labor law cases, and she stays with us. Let's take a call now. Owen is with us from Waiwega. Hi, Owen.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking the call. Yeah, I just want to convey a message here and work as a liaison as on behalf of the dairy farm employees in the state of Wisconsin, most of whom are undocumented and most of whom have no benefits, you know, through their employment and do not, they often go without any health care whatsoever as far as insurance. And because of the language barriers, they have a hard time communicating, and they're not listening to the same media that we are. Most of them have satellite television and
Owen,
Mexican news channel.
Hey, Owen, are you working on a farm right now?
Say that again?
Are you working on a farm right now?
Yes, at the moment I'm working, yep.
Yeah, what protections are you taking now? What protections do you have in place during this pandemic?
Well, it's very hard because you're in close proximity, most of the work that you're doing with other employees. You're also dealing with, you know, we have people that are living 8, 9, 10 people in one home at a time, and some of these are 4-bedroom homes. So you can imagine it's pretty overcrowded in maybe one bathroom in the whole place. Some places are even more overcrowded on other farms, I know.
Owen, thank you for calling in. Barbara, Owen, working on a farm there, who is working around people who are migrant workers in the dairy industry. And Owen is really concerned about safety and about language barriers and about getting really important information about the pandemic through. What type of advice could you give there?
Well, I think those employers are under the same requirements as any employer to provide a safe workplace. And if that's not happening, they can file a complaint with the state or federal occupational safety and health authorities.
Would be OSHA?
Right.
And OSHA is fielding those types of complaints right now during the pandemic?
They should be.
Operating as normal. You know, Barbara, we were talking earlier about furloughs. I'm wondering, is there a set single definition of what a furlough is? And can you tell it what it is?
Well, a furlough is a layoff, essentially. And I think, as I mentioned, employers are doing furloughs differently. Some are furloughing employees and they're furloughed for the duration. Others are having rolling furloughs. And then, you know, you might be working 1 week out of four or every other week. So it just varies.
Does a furlough at all mean that you may have to reapply for your job when your job is opened back up?
Kate?
Yeah, can you hear me, Barbara?
I'm getting
a busy signal. Yeah, I can hear that coming through. We're going to try to fix that here. We have attorney Barbara Zach Quindell, who works on employment and labor law cases. Barbara, can you hear me now? Do you still hear that sound?
Yes. No, I don't.
Okay. I'm wondering then, do you have to reapply for your job when your job opens back up?
You should not be expected to. You should just be able to
continue to your work. Do you find that employers are continuing with health and insurance benefits at these times of furloughs? What do they look like?
Yeah, I mean, they should be still covering people.
Should be still being able to get those benefits even when you're on furlough, so not looking to have to find health insurance at that time.
That's right.
Well, let's take another call now. Mike is with us from Millston this morning. Hi, Mike. What's your question?
Hi. I drive truck for a living, and the facility that we report to work at, we're all together. We did have one employee that was hospitalized for COVID, and the facility is extremely dirty. There's been no disinfecting of anything. We're not given any gloves or masks. There's one bottle of Purell, and there's usually about 30 people in a fairly small room. And we were wondering if the employer is required to clean the place up to keep it more sanitary or disinfect everything, or should we be given anything to protect ourselves?
Mike, thank you so much. Barbara, what are Mike's rights for having that workspace disinfected?
The employer is obligated to provide a safe workplace. And so if that is not happening, you can file a complaint. I think we just talked about filing a complaint with the state. What I would first do is I would have a group of employees get together, write a letter, but band together and, you know, tell the employer that this is not fair to them, jeopardizing their health in this way, and, you know, see if you can, in a group with collective action, persuade the employer that they need to take this more seriously and provide the necessary protective equipment. And if anything happens to the employees because they do that, in other words, the employer fires people, that's considered concerted protected activity. And if there's the employer is subject to the National Labor Relations Act, they would have a remedy.
What would that remedy be?
Reinstatement.
Mike, do you think that your colleagues feel the way you do? Are you there, Mike? Oh, I'm sorry, Mike is no longer there. Barbara, you know, when you say that, you know, band together as workers, what are some things that workers can do collectively at this time before they get legal action involved? Barbara, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What
I think we're having some difficulty here hearing Barbara. Barbara, I'm going to repeat the question one more time here. You know, in relation to what employees can do, you talk about banding together. What are some actions that employees can do collectively, even if they're not in a union? What can they do collectively before they get legal help involved?
Well, I think they what I was suggesting is that they write up a list of demands and present that, you know, like the demands and then signatures from the employees and present that to the employer to, you know, their strength in numbers. So that would be a way of trying to impress on the employer of their, I mean, this is, you know, this is more than a legal responsibility. This is a moral responsibility. And so I think collectively there might be pressure.
Can they take these types of actions, this collective action, while they are on company time? Can they do this inside the workplace, or is this something that they have to do outside the workplace?
Generally, I mean, they can do it on non-work time, like break time at work. But it's probably best to do, you know, put something like this together after work hours, and then, you know, present to the employer.
The new federal law, you know, greatly expands protected leave for family and medical reasons, but Wisconsin has its own family and medical leave law. How do you see federal and state laws working together and maybe in conflict?
State law covers you on FMLA if you have at least 50 employees. The federal act extends emergency leave protection to employees of an employer with fewer than 50 employees unless that would jeopardize the viability of the business as a going concern. So, in order to access FMLA leave, you have to inform your employer and you have to provide documentation completed by a physician. That documentation is on the state's Equal Rights Division website. It's called a certification of serious illness.
We need to pause right there. We're spending the hour with Milwaukee attorney Barbara Zach Quindell as we look at employment and labor law issues with you at 800-228-5615. Back in a moment on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Just a quick mention that it's listener support that is the largest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. And during our spring member drive right now, you can give at this number, 888-202-2552 or WPR.org. And thank you so much for your support. Right now, we're tackling labor relations during the pandemic. Unionized nurses and flight attendants, auto workers, they've all leveraged their collective voices in recent weeks to try to influence policy and corporate decision-making during the crisis. Are you a union member? What advice is the union giving you about working during the coronavirus? Have you sought legal advice about a workplace dispute? What confuses you about the situation at your work during this pandemic, during this safer at home order? Still time for you. The number is 800-228-5615. 800-228-5615. We have Barbara Zach Quindell, whose law practice includes labor and employment issues. So, Barbara, we heard from Bob calling us from Fort Atkinson, and Bob is wondering, how does OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, how does OSHA tie in with a complaint to your employer if you feel the workplace is unsafe? Does OSHA law still apply?
It should. It should, and I think that's it's worth doing, making such a complaint. And I think when you do that, you can see if they will send out an inspector or contact your employer. If you file a complaint, then OSHA should transmit that to the employer.
Will you be anonymous in that complaint, or will that have to be revealed to your employer if you file that complaint with OSHA?
I think it will have to be revealed to your employer in order that your employer can assess the situation.
Could there be repercussions if you make a report to OSHA for that employee?
Well, there's a protection from retaliation. So, you know, if that happens, then if there are, you know, if there is retaliation for making the complaint, then the employee should contact the lawyer and try to pursue that.
Let's look at symptoms of the coronavirus for a moment. Do employees have to tell their employer when they do have symptoms that could be the coronavirus?
Yes, they do, because it's important that the employer be able to notify anybody who was in close contact with that employee. So, yes.
Would that employee have to consent to a thermometer check at the door before, say, entering their workplace?
I don't know about a thermometer check. I think that they would have to have some kind of, you know, medical release that says that they are symptom free and, you know, not going to put other people at risk.
What can employers do about protecting employees who may fall sick to the coronavirus and they want to remain anonymous? They don't want to be revealed. How is that handled?
Well, you know, I don't think you have to reveal the name of the employee to other employees. I think you can just say, we have reason to believe that someone you may have come in contact with has the virus, and so that they themselves can get checked out.
When we come out of the other side of this pandemic, what kind of employment or labor law changes do you suspect will come to fruition down the road?
Well, one of the things we'd like to see is that right now, you know, we have this problem that the paid leave is only extended to employees of people who have at least 50 employees. And I think an expansion of paid leave is way overdue in our country.
Well, we're going to have to leave it there. Barbara, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Barbara Zach Quindell is partner at Hawks Quindell in Milwaukee. She's been representing individuals and unions with employment and labor law issues for more than 35 years. For families that share custody of children, staying at home and practicing social distancing can be confusing and frustrating. As part of our Why Sconcin project, many WPR audience members have asked, is it safe to exchange kids between households during the pandemic? As Bridget Bowden reports, families are still subject to existing court orders, leaving some parents fearful for the health and safety of their kids.
Ashley Johnston's family in Shorewood is truly a blended family. She has three children from a previous marriage, and her current partner has one more.
We have a six-year-old daughter, we have a 12-year-old daughter, and soon-to-be 15-year-old son. And then my partner's son is 6 as well.
Her kids spend 2 days a week plus every other weekend at her house. The rest of the time they're with their dad, who lives about 20 miles away in Franklin. This placement schedule is court-ordered. But ever since Governor Evers issued the Safer at Home order, Johnston has grown more and more afraid with every exchange. She's scared that they might be exposed to or even spread the virus.
Just fearing that they are, you know, not going to comply and that they're going to expose the children, you know, unnecessarily.
Johnston wishes she didn't have to move the kids back and forth so much. She thinks it would be safer if they could stay in one place for the time being. But she says her ex-husband wants to continue with the established schedule. Her family law attorney told her it's best to follow the court order until and unless they can get it changed. She also called the local police department, and they told her if she violates the order, she could be cited or even arrested.
So I can't even, you know, protect my children. I can't protect my household. I can't protect my stepson and his mother and her partner, you know, I mean, the list goes on.
She could go to court to try and change the placement order. Although in-person court proceedings are suspended right now, parents can still file motions to modify or enforce placement. Some courts have made adjustments to how they operate, including prioritizing placement disputes and holding hearings over the phone or by video conference. Marcia Mansfield is an emeritus clinical law professor at UW Law School. She says judges' main concern is what's best for the children, but situations like this can be tricky.
The challenge it always is, right, who's making a decision about what the higher risk is.
Mansfield says there are cases where going against a placement order could be in the child's best interest, but those are extreme. For example, if one parent lived in New York City, an epicenter of the virus, and wanted to put the child on a plane to come visit.
That's a situation where you would hope, first of all, that the parents, in trying to act in the children's best interest, would come to an agreement to postpone that placement time.
But she says unless parents can agree on a compromise,
you follow the placement agreement or order to the best of your ability.
Margaret Hickey is a family law attorney in Milwaukee. She says her firm has been busy over the last few weeks with concerns related to the pandemic. That includes placement issues, but also things like homework not getting done. She also expects to see more cases involving child support payments, with record numbers of people suddenly unemployed.
So if one parent's income goes down, it absolutely will normally affect the child support and what a court might order.
But she says in the best case scenario, parents work together to figure out what's best for their kids during the pandemic.
This is a hard enough time for people without having to deal with the court systems.
But for parents like Ashley Johnston, out-of-court compromise may not be an option.
I just feel completely helpless at this point, and nobody's really there to help me protect my children.
She hopes she can eventually add language to their placement order, spelling out what to do with the kids during a pandemic. But for now, she's going to keep exchanging her kids as scheduled. Bridget Bowden, Wisconsin Public Radio.
This is The Morning Show. We are in our spring member drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Your gift is powerful. It really makes a difference. Give at 888-202-2552 or WPR.org. And thank you so much for your support. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.